We shall turn again to the part of God's Word which we read in the Song of Solomon, chapter 1. Reading from verse 1. Song of Solomon, chapter 1, from verse 1. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Especially verse 2. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. This book of God's Word begins with this title, the Song of Songs, which tells us it is no ordinary song. In fact, it is the best song because it's the Song of Songs, the very best one, which is Solomon's, which speaks of the love of Christ to his church and the love of the church to Christ. This song is speaking of a heavenly love. It is speaking of the spiritual marriage of Christ and his church. This love is what the church desires above all things. The church desires the kiss of love, the kiss of affection from Christ, the bridegroom, to the bride. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Do you desire the love of Christ tonight? Can you relate to what the church says in this part of his word, the word of God? Do you desire Christ to express his love to your soul? And the Lord helping us, we notice, first of all, the longing of the believer. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. The longing of the believer to Christ. Secondly, the love of the Savior. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. The love of the Savior. And thirdly, the excellence of his love. For thy love is better than wine. The excellence of his love. Here is the one thing that the Lord's people desire, and that is to behold the beauty of the Lord and to be kissed with the kisses of his mouth. And is this our desire this evening? First of all, the longing of the believer. We noticed Sabbath evening the text, kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way. There are many things that are symbolized by the kiss, and that first we noticed there was homage, showing respect to one who has great authority. There is also the kiss of worship, at least in other religions. And we are to give reverence and to the Lord, and we are to worship him with adoration. And there is the kiss of affection, where we read of Isaac desiring his son to draw near to him. He says, come near now and kiss me, my son. And that is the kiss of affection, of love and delight. And there is also the kiss of reconciliation. When two parties are at variance, they would then be reconciled and show that they are friendly to each other by a kiss. And so it is when the sinner comes to the Savior, there is the kiss of grace or of faith, the kiss of trust and attachment to Christ. That is similar to Peter when he adhered to the Lord and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And not only is there the kiss of the believer to Christ, but Christ's kiss to the sinner. The kiss of reconciliation. This is what Christ does. He is the one who seeks and saves that which is lost. And indeed, it is the initiative that Christ takes when he himself comes from heaven to earth to suffer and die on the cross and reconcile sinners to God. Christ is the efficient peacemaker. He reconciles sinners to God. He is the one who first expresses love to the sinner. And if there is any love in our hearts to Christ, it is only because he drew us to himself. And we love him because he first loved us. As Jeremiah writes in the 31st chapter, verse 3, which we often quote, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." Well, how do we know then that God first loved us? How do we know that he loves us at all? It is by this evidence that there is a longing in the heart for him and his love. And he himself put that longing in our hearts by his grace. And it is his grace in our hearts that he has put there which comes to expression again and again in this way in the words of our text, "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine." Believers desire to know him. Believers desire to be near him. They desire to love him more. But they also desire this. They desire his love. They desire that he would express his love to them. And they are saying, "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Cause me to know that thou dost love me. Cause me to experience the knowledge in my soul that I am loved by the Most High. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Cause me to understand and to feel the love of Christ in my heart. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Cause me to experience again that his left hand is under my head and his right hand doth embrace me. Let him, oh, that he may come again and cause me to enjoy nearness and communion with him. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth." Here's the longing soul. Here is the longing heart of a child of God. Is this the longing that you experience now and then? Is it the longing that you experience today? If you're a child of God and you came to the table, did coming to the table of the Lord cause that longing within you to be in fresh exercise, the longing soul? "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine." In the second place, then, let us consider the love of the Savior. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Let him. Notice that the church, does not name him. And she only says, "Let him." We might say, "Well, let who? Who is this one you're speaking of?" Expressing one's desire without naming the person who is the object of desire is natural for someone who is so full of love to that person. "Oh, let him come. Oh, I wish he would come." Who are you speaking? "Oh, you don't know who he is? Saw ye him whom my soul loveth? Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth." And then she says directly to him, "For thy love is better than wine." It is my beloved. That is who she is speaking of. The one who is the chiefest among 10,000. Everyone ought to know him. Surely no one needs to ask who is the church speaking of when she says, "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth." He is the one who is fairer than the children of men. And the whole world should know who this one is. A day is coming when the whole world will acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. But only one who has been touched by the love of Christ can say with conviction and say with affection that his love is better than wine. And only a child of God will say, "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Let him." It can be no other. It can be no other than Christ himself. It can only be the beloved of the church. Let him. There's no need to ask who it is. There can only be one person of whom she says, "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine." He is the supreme Lord. He is the Savior, as well as the head of his church, the altogether lovely one. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Let him kiss me. I'm not worthy of this. I am black. The sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. I am unloved by others, and there's no wonder about that. I don't deserve any love at all. But oh, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. And such a kiss that is not only reconciling me to God, but is causing me to experience that love wherewith he loves his own. He loved his own which were in the world, and he loved them to the end when he suffered and died for them and shed his blood for them and poured out his soul unto death for them. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. You see, it is a great honor to be kissed by a king. We considered that text again, "Kiss ye the Son, lest he be angry." Well, he deserves it. He's the king. He is the Lord's anointed. Oh, everyone should come to him and kiss him and submit to him and worship him. But notice, the church is saying, "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth." It's one thing for the servant to kiss the king, but it's another for the king to kiss the servant. The servant might kiss the king's feet or even his hand, but for the king to come, to stoop down, for the Lord Jesus Christ to stoop down and wash the disciples' feet, for him to shed his blood for his people, for him to express his love in such a wonderful, manifold way, that is truly amazing. It is truly an honor. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Here is love, and the expression of love, which is precious beyond compare. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Well, what is it? Again, it is very simple. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. What the church says in the first part of the verse is explained by the second part. The kiss is the love that is expressed to the soul, which is better than any other kind of love, and better than any other enjoyment, better than wine and all that wine represents. Let him kiss me, let him love me, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, let him express his love to my soul. And we might ask, well, why does she not simply say, "Let him kiss me"? Why is it, "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth"? And perhaps it is an idiom of the Hebrew, as we read in other places that God speaks with the words of his mouth, instead of simply God speaks his word. Here it is, "Let him kiss me," but more than that, "Kiss me with the kisses of his mouth." But perhaps more than simply being peculiar to the Hebrew, the church is saying what will affect her even further and expressing more fully what is upon her heart, that she desires Christ to kiss the soul with his kisses and with the frequency and continuousness of the expression of his love. Let him continue to kiss me with the kisses, plural, continually, that I experience again and again and again the flow of love into my heart from him. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. And we may well ask, how do we know when he kisses us, and how do we know that he is expressing his love to our souls? Perhaps there is no need to come with some kind of logical conclusion or answer, because the child of God will know it, because they will feel it, and they cannot help concluding, their very souls and their consciousness are feeling it and acknowledging, yes, my beloved has come, the voice of my beloved. Behold, he cometh, leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. Here is not a process of self-examination, although every believer should examine himself or herself, and every child of God will examine themselves. If we're not examining ourselves, we cannot say that we're the children of God. A confession of sin is involved in self-examination, and no one is a child of God who does not confess their sins. But when the Lord kisses his people with the kisses of his mouth, it's as if he is touching their heart, and they are made to feel. They cannot always explain, but they know what is happening. He has touched their hearts, and when he touches their hearts melt in love to him. He causes them to know his love by his word and spirit, through the promise of his grace and the declarations of his word that he loves his people. When he draws them near to him and they are pouring out their hearts in prayer, as they read the word of God, as they are meditating, and they may feel cold at first, but as they use the means of grace, whether it's in the preaching of the word or in the sacrament or in their own private secret worship, sometimes they may feel, as we read in Song of Solomon chapter 6 verse 12, "Or ever I was aware, my soul made me like the chariots of Amminadab." It's when the chariots are God's people being willing to follow him, willing to call upon him, and they feel near the Lord, and they desire to serve the Lord. And so the effect of Christ kissing his people with the kisses of his mouth, the effect of it is sometimes easier to explain than what it is itself that they experience. When their hearts melt in love to him, when they are brought to say, "I do love the Lord, and I will love the Lord. Thou knowest that I love thee, and I want to follow thee. Thine are we, David, and on thy side, thou son of Jesse." As Nathanael said to the Lord, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel." He could not but exclaim in response to Christ acknowledging him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile." Here's the response of Nathanael. Here's the response of Thomas when the Lord drew near to him. He says, "My Lord and my God." This is the response of someone who has been kissed with the kisses of his mouth. They are saying, "Thy love is better than wine." They respond by a desire to love him more. They desire to express their love to him again, and they desire him to remain with them, like the two on the road to Emmaus when their hearts were burning within them, and they asked the Lord, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening." And later on, he was known by the breaking of bread. When the Lord kisses his people with the kisses of his mouth, then they are resolved to obey him. It's then that they feel that they are quickened. They have been calling upon him, Lord, turn me and I shall be turned. Quicken us and we will call upon thy name. And when he kisses his people, he causes them to experience his grace. And they are stirred up to go forward in duty. They are saying to the Lord, let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. They say this when the Holy Spirit quickens them. And when the Holy Spirit quickens them, it is Christ kissing them. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Is this your desire? Has this been your experience? Do you desire to experience it again? Well, we come in the third place to consider the excellence of his love. And this is the reason why the church desires the kisses of Christ, because his kisses, that is his love, is better than anything else. It is better than any other kind of love. It is better than any other kind of enjoyment. Wine is a symbol of refreshment or rejoicing. And there is nothing more refreshing and comforting and exhilarating than the love of Christ. Nothing that touches the heart so much and causes the soul to rejoice so much as Christ in the soul when he kisses the believer. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. Thy love is better than wine. Thy love is better than money. Thy love is better than family. Thy love is better than any costly thing that this world can offer, more than any pleasures that can be enjoyed. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. It is love that is unquenchable. Time may go by where this love of Christ is not felt consciously as much, but that love that Christ has to his people is unquenchable. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would utterly be contemned. The waters of trials cannot stop God's love, Christ's love for his people. And Paul was persuaded that nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. From God's word, we understand that the statutes of the Lord are wonderful, that his name is wonderful. Well, this is what believers say of Christ, as David said of Jonathan's love, thy love to me is wonderful. Thy love to me is wonderful. And we were hearing something of this love when we were considering Christ and his love to his people, and that which motivates the children of God. Uriah thought about the Ark of the Covenant, which gave him resolve to persevere and to deny himself. And as we heard, we are to have the ark before us, put Christ and his love between us and sin, that we would be like Joseph, who said, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? The love of Christ and the kisses of Christ should constrain us to go forward in duty and deny ourselves and crucify the flesh with the affections and lusts, and how we should be praying for the experience of Christ's love to motivate us more and more. That's the evidence. If we have felt his love at all, we will not be content until we are filled with his love. The child of God will never be fully satisfied until his heart is overflowing with a good matter. They are never happy. They are never completely happy until they are assured that Christ loves them. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. There are times when some of the Lord's people at least have felt their very heartstrings being pulled and Christ speaking to their souls, and they cannot but respond with weeping in love and tears of joy. But perhaps there are some of the poor children of God who have not had that degree of the experience of God's love or Christ's love in their souls. But if you've come to the Savior, and if he is precious to you, there cannot be anything else than some affection for him from your heart. And that is the evidence that he loves you. We love him because he first loved us. And the Lord promises in his word to bring his people near to himself. He desires to have fellowship with him. He is a Savior who does speak to his people. He is a Savior who does kiss his people. Let this be your prayer tonight. Let it be your prayer in the future. Let him kiss me. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. For thy love is better than wine. This is what I know. I know that his love is better to me than many thousands of gold and silver. And oh, then that he would convey that to me, that his Spirit would cause me to experience his love in my soul. The Lord manifests his love to his people in his word, by his Spirit, and in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. And surely, to a degree, the people of God, when they came forward and partook of the bread and wine, when the cup was put to their lips, they were saying in their souls, "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth." As Christ himself, by his Spirit, comes into their hearts. Yes, friends, this is a time of love. And this is what God's people will desire, that they would feel his love. For one day they will feel his love, and it will be so overpowering that they will need a resurrection body to experience that love. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Well, in conclusion, you may not feel that his love is better than wine, and no unconverted person does. The natural man does not love the love of Christ. And yet, from the Word of God and having the light of nature and having the light of reason, we may very well conclude that even if we had the whole world in our possession, it would do us no good if we lost our soul in hell. And surely a rational conviction will lead us to say, his grace and his salvation is better than the whole world, because rationally speaking, it's better to have his grace and his love than to lose my soul in hell. And you may not feel the love of Christ, but can you live without it? Can you go to heaven without it? No. Oh, then you need to cry to him that you would experience his salvation. Remember me, Lord, with that love which thou hast to thine own, the same love that God has to his people, that you would experience it, that you would also be drawn and united to Christ and enjoy fellowship with him. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Oh, that I might kiss him with homage and worship and submission and reconciliation and affection. But oh, that he would kiss me, that he would bless me also. How you need to pray, friend, that he would kiss your soul, that you would be reconciled to him, that he would draw you by his grace, that he would draw you with the cords of a man and the bands of love, that he would draw you. Then pray, draw me. We will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine, the upright love thee. Pray that he would be your king and that you would be his child. Yes, that you would be amongst those who are the spiritual bride of Christ, saying from their very hearts, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. May he bless his word. Let us pray.